Hey, welcome to the Laughing Monkey Music Show. Today we have on Rob Ware. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you're back. Last time you were on, we talked about your last album, which was fantastic, and got a new one out. A live one coming out.
Well, live will coming out. It was the right time to do it for us. Bloodlines is still selling very well, but you have to be current and you have to keep offering in new products. You can't just stand still. So we decided to record a live album with a catalogue spanning set list from Wildcats in 1980 right the way through, including songs off Bloodlines. And we went to the Patriot in the middle of Wales, which is a great venue, great acoustics, fantastic little engineer who did us proud. actually, re recording the capturing the guitar sounds and and the drums and all that kind of stuff. It's a live album, unlike maybe some live albums out there that aren't quite live, which I'm sure we all know which ones they are. But there are no overdubs. We haven't gone into the studio and redone anything. It what you hear is what we played on the night. That's Scout's honor. That's absolutely how it is. The only thing that's happened. There's no production mixing wise is we sent the live recordings across to Tue Madsen, who mixed and produced Bloodlines for us in Denmark. And he merely sat at the desk and just fine-tuned the guitar sounds and the bass sound and the drum sounds with EQ. That's the only thing that's been done with it.
That's necessary for mastering. That's the difference between having a demo and a professional recording. You have to master it. That's what mastering's about. You need to make it sound proper.
Absolutely. But it's when you put it on, either on your speakers or if you put it on your headphones, and you've got a glass of Jack Daniels and there are other bourbons available.
I'm glad we're not limiting our bourbons on this play.
But Jack Daniels is my favorite. When you've got it on, we truly, truly wanted the listener to feel as if they were with us, at the show. And we haven't borrowed Kiss live audience from wherever. It's the audience are here with the people that were there, and it's turned out really, really well. We're very proud of it, and I hope when people come to the shows that we generally do sound like that. You're always in the hands of of the out front engineer, of course,
In the room.
but. Absolutely. And things do go awry, people break strings and one thing and another. But actually on this recording, everybody just restrung. Craig had put new skins on his drums, so we weren't tempting fate at all.
It's really it's a great album. It's great for driving too. It's a great driving album, you know.
We're not really known for our ballads. So it moves along nicely. It's a CD, and it's on double LP, albeit the two LPs are in a single sleeve, and that's purely because the cost of a gatefold, which we would have loved to do for everybody, is just astronomical. It's the production, it's the cost of it, it's even mailing it out, it's just so. We needed a double LP, we really did. But we agreed with the record company that it would go in a single sleeve. But the difference of the two products, a CD, you can only get 76 minutes, I think, of music on, 77. So that's in essence the live show. And on the double LP, there are two extra live tracks, which were recorded. We played on the night, but we knew they weren't going to be on the CD because there wasn't enough time on the CD. But we recorded extra songs, especially for the double LP.
Well, actually, so did I. So, how many songs to all together then? Is the LP? How many songs is
The LP
that?
has two more songs. The LP has, do you know, I haven't even got it in my hand.
My preview had 19 songs, so that was really a lot of songs. So, I was curious if that was if I'm missing two songs.
19. Yes, that's probably, yeah, the CD's probably 17 and the LP's 19, I think.
It's such
Yes.
a good album. It really
So
is.
that's quite a bit of listening, really. If that's,
Yeah.
I mean, the LP comes out at 88 minutes. You know, that's nearly an hour and a half. But yeah, it was the right time to do it. The band is on fire. And everybody's playing at the top of their game.
It's funny because we spoke last year, and I really loved, as an older fan of your music. Love the new blood, love the new singer. Fits in great, kind of picks up where well, you're not competing, but you're complimenting, which is really great to do when you're having different members come into the band to give a new blood without doing some weird energy with the fans. So it was exciting that last, the Bloodlines album. So I know we were talking about it. We talked about how many songs can you do live from the new album because you want to do new songs. How many can you mix in with the audience? And you were talking about trying to put a set list together. So fast forward to a couple of weeks ago when I get this in my mailbox, I'm like, oh, look at this. And I'm trying to count how many songs and then how you arranged them and how the old songs fit in with the new songs. They flow seamlessly, you know?
I think it's you have to move forward.
Absolutely.
And I think I said this last time. You know, I regard our career, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself,
That's all right.
to all the listeners, and all the viewers. But I very much regard the band's career as climbing up a staircase. And with each new product you bring out, whatever it is, you have to move up another stair. And if you don't, well, you're not really offering anything new, are you? You're just standing still, and nobody wants to stand still. It's about moving, forward, onward and upward. And
Right.
of course, you never get to the top. You never get to the top of the staircase, because once you've got to the top, then you're kind of saying to everybody, we've got nowhere. Well, we're at the pinnacle. We've got nothing else to offer. So you never really want to reach the top of the staircase, but you want to keep on going up. And there's as many stairs there as there is you want your career to go on.
Yeah.
Bloodlines moved us up one or two stairs,
Oh yeah, at least. I'd
in
say
my
two or three
opinion.
myself. I would say two or three. The production,
In my view.
the vocals, and I mean, it
And
was just really just it's so bright and crunchy. Like the guitars on the live album is very, very bright and snappy, which I really enjoy.
yeah, well, that's down to Chew, and he's tremendous. We were lucky to discover him, really. I think our record company CEO introduced us to him. And we're not really 100% what he would normally do. He's normally the heavier end.
Oh, really?
The more the more extreme metal, all that kind of stuff. He's more known for that. He's mixed some Metallica live material. He's mixed baby metal live. But yeah, I think he's known for something slightly more extreme. So he's brought a little bit of that, to the party, but He was a big fan of Chris Tangarides, who produced Wildcat and Spellbound back in 80 and 81. And he's done his homework. He listened to all the old, the old kind of LPs, and he's factored that into what he's done for us. So and we're just absolutely blown away by what he's done. And we're about to send them a load of demos for the next album, which we'll start and record middle to back end of next year.
Awesome. I think it's almost like sometimes like the missing piece, like you guys always sounded good before, but they go to the next staircase. If you can cat the closer you can capture the band's sound or what you feel the sound is one extra level. Because sometimes, even back in the 70s and 80s, you're somewhere close or not close for any bands, as close as you could with equipment and the times or whatever. But as time goes on, when you can really nail it at this point in your career, and you're finessing your songwriting. And it's just running like a well-oiled machine, and then you get this producer comes in, and from where he's coming from, he may have been able to add something like a different dimension that just brightens it up. It's just a sound on his last album that carries over into this production. It does feel like you're right there, like I said, in the car. It's a great listen to get a speeding ticket in, because the guitar is just ripping it like a million miles an hour, you know.
Well, there's so much great music around at the moment.
There
There's a
is.
lot of competition. There's a lot of competition out there, and really, you've got to stack up against that. And if you've got somebody tremendous like Chew on board, you've got a fighting chance. He's already bringing a 5 liter, V12 supercharged engine to the party. And that helps you get off the grid pretty quick.
It does, but if you put that engine in a go-kart, the go-kart's going to fall apart. You need a
Yeah,
good strong you
absolutely.
need a good strong machine to put it in, and you
You
guys are that
put
strong
something in
machine.
it.
You know what I'm saying? So it you can have something super great and something not great, and it's not going to work the same. When you have two really great things and they complement each other, that's when you just,
Yeah, and I, but I, well, yes, I think Chew would be the first one to say, "Song number three you've sent me, don't think it has a future," and in which case you just press delete and you offer another one, or you
You
write
want
another
that
one,
though.
or of course you
Yeah.
do, apps every
You
time,
want a
every time.
Forest in
And
the Trees guy who could tell you guys
if we
sucks.
sent him if we sent him 10 songs and he said, "Nah, I can't see a future in any of them," then we would just, accept that and not say, "Oh, well, we don't think you're right. We're going to go to somebody else." We would ex accept his opinion because of what he's given us in the past.
Right.
You have to be realistic about these things, but we've got a great guy, Andy Pilkington, who now does our covers for us. He did Bloodlines, and he's done the cover for Live Blood, which is my
Fantastic.
goodness. We've had some fantastic feedback from that, and it's building that team around where everybody's looking out for everybody else, and everybody wants their name on there because they know it's going to be really, really good.
Mean, could you imagine? Like, this is probably this last album, in my opinion. I mean, I love classic songs, so I'm not knocking the classics, but overall, just production in a full solid album. That the Bloodlines album is probably one of the cream of the crop for you guys. And now this live album, like, and now in the artwork, I mean, do you feel at this point like it's amazing at this far in your career, you're still getting better, like you're still putting out quality work? I mean, can you imagine, like, as a kid when you were first doing this, when your sweaty hands learning the guitar, you're like,
Very, very much so. It's. I'm just thankful that it, we keep on moving up. The material is just seen. It. I don't know why or how, but thankfully, it is. It's just getting bigger and better. And the songs that we've got in the pot at the moment. Have moved up again from Bloodlines. I mean, they're honestly, truly,
really? I'm looking forward to it.
they're human. But We had a, you know, we had a discussion, you know, a band discussion about what we wanted to do for the next album and how where we wanted to go with it and how we could move up, you know, and keep on moving forward. And I was going to say, I think if you can write songs, new songs, that when you play them live to an audience, they don't sound brand new. They sound like you almost question yourself as if you think, was this, I've heard this, was this song on, you know,
Right.
on that album? Do you know, it's so,
Yeah.
yeah, it's new, but it's kind of familiar
Yeah.
rather than it's new and it's, oh, that's new. I've never heard that. And it's a kind of a shock to the system.
There is a
So
fine
I
line, though, to balance that,
there
though.
is.
So, I mean, that's.
There is, yes, there is absolutely a fine line. And I think I think we found it.
I agree with that. I mean, I've heard other bands that sometimes go further. Sometimes it's good to push further. But I do agree. I think one of the things that keeps it together with all these sounds and producers and different singers is the lead guitar lines and the melodies. And I think that's what allows you to put the old music with the new music side by side and not feel like you're like driving in a car and you're like jerking it back and forth because you feel like it's not working. You know what I mean? Or someone's loading stick shift because it feels like you're like, oh, next song. Oh, I love this song. Oh, new song. I like this song. I like Edge of the World. Oh, I like this old song. Like, you don't feel like you're just
Absolutely.
choppy. And I think I had to listen to the album a few times. I'm like, what is the continuity? Because your career's been so long and different, you know, ebbs and flows, but what's kept it so strong that had such a and it's gotta be like the big thing is the melody and the guitar melody. You know, that's what I see. I mean, I could be wrong, it's your band.
No, absolutely. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, it's yeah, and they just keep coming. They really, really do. Lyrics and melodies, 95% of the time, 97% of the time, originate from, of course, Jack our singer, and
Right.
Craig our drummer, and they be between the two of them, they're always sending sound bites to each other, and sharing lyrics, and they're the vocal melody makers, if you like. But of course, they're putting those on top of the songs that you know that the riffs made into songs that both Francesco you know and I come up with.
And the riffs are so good because sometimes you'll be, you guys on a song, it's not formulaic where it's like every song has this, this, and this, every song with you guys. But sometimes you'll have this cute, not cute, but it's like a couple little riff and then it goes into the chorus where it's like, and it like leads into it. Like there's always something that brings into it that's just a little bit different each time. So it's not every standard chorus. I can't think of an example right now because I'm talking to you, of course. But I was actually thinking about it. I was listening to it earlier today. I'm like, oh, it's actually it's one of the songs you do on the live album too. And but it's different enough where you don't feel like you're just listening to the same song over and over again. Like you have different twists and turns in it, you know, different nuances, different leads runs in and out. Not everything's like that. I mean, I guess actually I want to say vocally before I forget. I love and it was the Paris by Air. What a standout track. I mean, this is a great album, what I'm saying, but to me, when I heard that, I was like, wow, what a fresh hearing on that right now. I don't know why. It feels like the vocals. I don't know. I just hadn't heard it, I hadn't expected that. I don't know. Something about it just really hit me. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, it was a pop song, really, written by the brother of one of our former managers,
Okay.
and it came to us back in 81, and we tigerized it and recorded it, and we didn't play it live for quite a few years. And we had a lot of requests through social media channels. So we just decided to put it back in the set, and it goes down great. Because maybe it's a little bit of, I don't know, it's just something a little bit different.
It is, and it feels like a team. Like it feels because everyone, the vocals and the team, it feels like I feel smiles on your faces. Listening to it, I feel like I hear smiles when people singing it. Like I feel like the band's all together on this, on a thing, like having a moment. It feels not just rocking out. It just feels like a collective energy, different.
And
And it's fun.
it goes down well, really well every night. It'll be in the set for a bit longer.
I think it's great. I love to hear that on there. I was like, oh, this is really good. It sounds so good. Let me ask you. So, Gangland is the newest single. How old is that song? Like when was that written in the conception of that song?
Gangland was written early 81.
Because it sounds a lot like another band has a song. It came out a little after in the mid 80s. It sounds like Livewire to me. And I know that song. I know yours was first. And I'm sure you probably have heard it before. I may have read it before. I was listening to that riff. I'm like, God, that sounds so familiar. And I even hear the drums almost going, da 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 da. I'm like, it's.
Yes, I think the band you're referring to might have borrowed it from us.
Yeah. And they might want to give it back.
No,
Maybe
quite.
in good condition with some monies attached to it. I hear it. And I don't. And it's funny because I don't. I'm not looking to stir anything up, but honestly, when I listen to it and hearing that riff, I'm like, God, it sounds familiar. Like, and then I never put two and two together just because I hadn't. And then I was like, son of a gun, that's why it always feels familiar because I've heard it before. And then hearing it on
You
this
have,
album,
yes.
beefed up. But then hearing it beefed up on the live thing again while I'm hearing this, I'm like, son of a gun, I know exactly where that riff came from. And I'm like,
Yeah.
I know this song is older, and I'm like, So,
Yeah, we recorded it. We wrote it and recorded it first.
that's good. I want to put that out there so people just know that is yours, and it's a great riff though. I mean, it is a good riff. You
Yeah,
know, it's a good
it
song
is.
though. But Gangland's a good
And
song.
I don't know
It's a
whether you
good
know
rock.
or whether you
Yeah.
I don't know whether you know or your listeners or your viewers know, but Creator did a cover version of it.
That I didn't know.
Yeah,
I'll go back and look into
Creator
that.
liked they liked Gangland that much they did a cover version of it, which actually is no faster than ours.
Sometimes you can't go any faster because you lose it. Sometimes
No.
you lose the details if you have a big fat paintbrush. You know what I mean? Because there is a and that's maybe why the production and the producer you have in this album is really making stuff pop out because there's a lot of little lines that he has, and he's used to working with a lot of big, fat, chunkier, deeper stuff. And his job is to pull stuff out. Otherwise, it does sound murky. I mean, and that kind of heavy, the heavier metal, there is a danger of everything kind of blurring together tone-wise, isn't that? Like, because every song, every instrument is almost tuned to a tone or that key. There's even like flat out. I mean, so. His ears are probably just thinking, I gotta separate this, I gotta do here. So he may have had a fresh mindset that really just. Yeah. So I guess one of the things is, I think what's really great is you guys are one of the bands, and a lot of the bands, almost like over the European, that consider glam or early metalish rock and roll, you have different names, that it doesn't matter. You guys are always still cool to the heavier bands, whereas some glam bands were crapped on. Like you guys, Hanoi Rocks, all the heavier bands are like cool bands. But then, if you got some of the LA bands that are glammy, the other metal bands will just totally trash them. Like you guys get this like hall pass type of thing. A couple of you guys, a couple of the bands, you know. And you know what I'm talking about too. It's not an ego thing. It's just a fact. It just, and I don't know if it's because it's because you guys are it's a European thing, or if it's because you guys have a punk attitude also mixed in with it, where it's. Not a. I don't know. I don't want to. I don't want to think about the other bands either because I don't think that would be fair to them. But there is a difference, maybe with the attitudes, I think, and it might just be. I think you know, and punkier music. I do think you guys and like Hanoi Rocks definitely could have easily slid back and forth between genres with your music. Like the riffs were heavy, but if you had a different producer, it would have been a heavier band. It just depended on how it was polished up, you know. The vocals only made the only difference, really. I mean, if Metallica had a singer like you guys, they would have been more like you. Obviously, if Lars had his way, you guys would have been more like, you know. So I think that it's good that you guys have gotten that prop sell, you know what I mean? But from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, it's just on my mind. Just what I did. But we were talking about writing songs,
Yes,
and
please.
Hugh, our bass player, has put a couple of songs in the pot. One of which is a potential for an album opener. It's absolutely awesome. But I've the front of the song. Is screaming out for bagpipes. No, I just thought I'd put that out there, and I don't think that's you often hear bagpipes,
I can
on a
only think of
hard
one
rock heavy.
band, Korn.
Well, AC/DC, of course.
That's it. Well, AC/DC and Korn for the U.S. side with their "Ships
All
and
right,
Ladders"
okay,
song.
okay. So, talking about just doing different things and moving up and moving forward, stuff like that really, really, it's quirky, but if it fits and it's right,
Oh, totally.
which I'm sure it is, it's gonna sound awesome. It really is.
I think if you start at the beginning or whatever, you end with it, or you make it an interlude. I think if you guys jam out all of a sudden into a bagpipe solo, it might not be as cool. You might lose the groove.
No,
But if it's a building part of the instrumentation, if it's just another color
this
or a
the
seasoning to your
yeah
palate, it's going to be different.
it's the intro and maybe the outro, but it go it's it descends into this huge hard rock riff, which you'll just
I'm looking forward to it.
it'll blow the glass out your glasses. Honestly, it's brilliant.
Sounds dangerous.
So yeah,
A horrible
so
visual. Thanks, Rob.
keep your eyes closed when you listen, when you put it on and listen to
I'll take my glasses off when I listen to it. I'm going to just listen with my ears. It's my headphones and no glass, safety glasses on. Maybe that's what I'll do. It's exciting.
good call.
I want to thank you. I mean, when's the album come out? The live one? I'm so bad. I
The
got.
live one comes out, it's next month. I think it's the
Okay.
26th or 27th of April, which is the day we fly out to São Paulo, and we're playing Summer Breeze. Big metal festival down out there down there. It's further south than you, and I think our day is headlining our day. There are three headliners our day, which is Mr. Big, Sebastian Bach, and Gene Simmons Band, which
Wow.
I'm very very interested to see. I've seen them, I've checked them out on YouTube, and I think they're gonna be pretty good.
I don't think Gene Simmons is going to just dial anything in. That's not who he is. I'm surprised he's doing something so quick after them going,
Well,
especially at this
he's
point in his
obviously
career.
he's obviously not sitting down resting on his laurels. He obviously wants to get out there and get a bit of interest going, and why not? The thing is, when you retire, when you stop doing these things, that's when things
You
start
die.
happening to
You
you. To
literally die if you don't
yeah,
keep doing stuff.
it's when things that you don't want start happening to your body, and you think, oh no, I wish I was still. So hey, just whatever you're doing, if you enjoy it, just keep doing it for as long as you can. As long as it's not illegal,
Well,
but
no, but he's been, or you just don't get caught. He's been doing his solo music with all the band members ever, forever. I mean, Ace Frehley just put out probably one of his best albums ever this year. It's
Yep.
so how awesome is that? Like, it's what you want. You know what I mean? Whether you're
Of
an Ace
course it is.
Frehley fan or not, it's you still want as an artist to put out your best album.
Yeah, I think with artists, there's creativity all, if you're a true artist, then you're creating all the time. And that doesn't turn off. When you decide to stop touring, it's that there are still creative juices, oozing out of your pores, as it were.
That's most people, though.
A bit
Haven't
of
you met people that haven't done that? I don't mean to step on you. Haven't you met artists? I've talked to artists that go, they turn it on and off, and they write songs when they need to, and then they don't. And some people are like, I can't write songs. It takes me 4 years. And I meet people like you, and predominantly most people are like you, which a lot of it. And there's only a handful of people that say, I can't write, or I can turn it on and off. And that's crazy to me to be able to do that. Can you imagine that?
I don't turn it on and off. It's just on constantly.
Right.
I never say to myself, right, I never say to my wife, right, I'm away from me studio to write a song, because that wouldn't happen. I would sit there and think, okay, that's not the way that I'm wired. I'll say to her, I'm just going upstairs to exercise my fingers because they're not as young as they used to be, and I plug into my studio,
Like the
and
rest of us.
something jumps out my fingers, honestly, onto the fretboard, and I can't control it, and I don't know where my fingers are going to go, and something happens, and I think, oh, okay, and I press play and record, I capture it, and then I leave it, and I come back the next day and I listen to it, and if I like it, then I develop it further. But it happens every time. Thankfully, every time I pick a guitar up,
You have a gift.
it can happen in a sound check. When the guy says, guitar stage right, and I'll play something, and Jack will look at me and go, "Is that new? Is that new?" And I go, "I have no idea. It's just happened." So he gets his phone out, and he says that, and he records it quickly. And he says, "I'll because he knows I'll forget it, because it's just
Yeah.
happened, and I don't know why it's happened. It's mad. I can't control it."
Well, as a gift, I'm glad you have that. I mean, because I'm excited. I'm enjoying the albums. I'm looking forward to the next one already. And I want, we're gonna wrap it up because I know you have a busy day scheduled. I do want to thank you for coming on. Hopefully, we'll talk again on the next album because I really
Absolutely.
enjoyed
Look
these.
forward to that.
I love
Yeah,
supporting your music and getting it out to the people. So the new album's coming out. I'm so horrible with dates. I just want to say, I've said it to people that, listen, I do get a lot of albums sent to me, which is such a gift. And I listen to all of them as I can, different types of stuff. So like when I get them sent to me and I actually go after it, like this one, like more aggressive than others, but I'm like, I have to talk to Rob. We got to lock this in. I'm really excited about it. You know what I mean? So
Thank you, Sean.
you're welcome. So I want to say that this album, especially the live album coming out, coming right on the heels of Bloodline and talking about what songs you're going to put in there, and you still have some favorites. You still do Love Potion. There's like On the Edge of the World. And all those great songs are all mixed together. It's a good album. It's going to be a good summertime album for people to hold over while you're waiting the next one. I think it does keep the momentum going, and I think it shows how strong the band is that you're just not dialing it in. The album was just produced in a studio. It shows that you guys are here to stay, and you're just crushing as you go. I want people to check out the album when it comes out, and check you out
Thank
on
you.
tour. I mean, wherever they can see you. I know Europe's a little bit better for touring for bands that are in Europe area than overseas.
We've got quite a lot of shows this year. Don't think we're not don't think we're playing in we're not playing in America. No, we're playing South America, and we're playing we go the other way, and we're playing new territories. Actually, we're playing in May. We're going to Hungary. We're going to Croatia. We're going to Serbia, which we haven't played before. So that's quite exciting.
Probably be crazy because those are great metal loving communities too, and they eat up they they'll eat you guys alive, from what I hear,
Well, when before
in
they
a good
broke
way.
up, before well, yeah, before they broke up, when it was Yugoslavia, Wildcat in 1980 actually went gold in Yugoslavia, oddly enough.
That crazy thing where Yugoslavian gold album winner, Yugoslavian band?
Yeah,
That's awesome. But the point
yeah.
is, but it shows you that larger community. I mean, obviously, worldwide, the internet's changed things, and of course, the reason why some of these bands did better in certain countries, and it might seem funny, is because there was no internet where everybody could listen to it. I couldn't, I had to get a copy of an album or a copy of this. So, I listening to it or other people in America is not going to affect you because the distribution's different. Of course, where you're heavily distributed, you have better access to it. Or how it ends up at a certain spot. Why would you not do well if no one's getting your stuff? It's like a podcast could have 100,000 subscribers, but if they're only getting a thousand views on their videos, that means only 1% is hearing it. So the same thing with albums. If only this many places hear, but this many people are hearing it, that's all they're going to get it. So that's really the reality of why certain bands didn't do so big in other countries, I think. And personally, I think it's a distribution thing. But, because the albums rock, and you guys have a it was more of a, you had a nice legend that carried you through over through the US, you know what I mean? It was kind of like legendary band, kind of cult type
We
thing.
We'll get there because I know our management are busy talking to American promoters at the moment.
I'd love to see you guys. That'd be definitely
So
you guys
that's
are
that.
on my bucket list, so that would be dream come true. If the economics work out,
Yeah,
it'd be
well, that's
awesome.
what it's all about.
Yeah, people, check out everything they have. The link to the website will be under the podcast and the YouTube channel. Check out the dates, the tours, the live music, and I'm going to enjoy the live album early as I have been.
Thank you very much
And
indeed, Sean. I'd like to thank all your listeners and all your viewers.
well, I want to thank you very much for being on the show.